We are breaking down some of the legislation that passed during the special session last week in Connecticut, especially this catch-all bill. There was a section of it that codifies rules for how ICE agents can make arrests and detainments on courthouse grounds across Connecticut. But does it effectively do anything major or different, or does it just put a target on the backs of Connecticut residents? Especially because the ICE activity that we have seen across the country, including in our state, is something that is being ordered by Washington, D.C., by the Trump administration. Joining us now to get some perspective on this is former FBI agent and UNH professor Ken Gray. Welcome back, Ken. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Melissa. Good to be with you again. You're right that this codifies rules that were already in place here in the state. The Connecticut Supreme Court earlier this year had put these rules into place. So this part of this catch-all bill just codifies those rules that had been previously made, limiting the actions of ICE agents inside Connecticut courtrooms.
I mean, talk about what that means, though. You know, when we say that it codifies it, like, what exactly does that mean? Is it just reiterating the importance of it, or what do you mean by that?
No, the rules specifically state when an ICE agent can conduct their business on court grounds or inside a courtroom. That is that, let us say that there is an illegal alien inside the court here in Connecticut that is there for some other reason and has to be there. Connecticut wants to make sure that they trust the Connecticut state court system and are free to come and go as they will, that they will be protected while they are on this ground unless certain conditions are made. If an ICE agent has an arrest warrant, they can still conduct that arrest on court grounds inside the courtroom, but they have to first notify the judicial officer that they have a warrant. They have to show it to that judicial officer. The judicial officer has to recognize the fact that it meets the conditions that are required by this law once it's signed into law, and then they're allowed to do their business. If ICE is there to pick somebody up, detain them under a civil violation, a status violation, this precludes them from being able to do that inside a courtroom. So they have to be there to arrest the person, and they have to be there to arrest the person on a felony A or a felony B, or the person has to be on a terrorist watch list for them to conduct this act, to go in there and make that arrest.
I guess I'm confused. We've got Ken Gray, who is here, former FBI agent, as well as a UNH professor, talking about this attention once again from Connecticut lawmakers in how ICE agents can make arrests and detainments on courthouse grounds across the state. When you've got a federal agency, I mean, what effectively can really be done? I mean, can they just defy whatever it is that we have passed in the last year and now have, you know, codified in this most recent special session? I mean, essentially, can't the federal agency continue to operate as it pleases?
So the Supremacy Clause says that federal law trumps state law. And so if the ICE agent has a judicial warrant for a person, then they can go and arrest them and the state can't stop them. And this law that has been put into place recognizes that. It says that they can go ahead and make their arrests. What this does is it stops ICE from using their civil powers of detaining a person for their status. If ICE has reason to believe that the person that is in a courtroom here in the state is out of status, that is that they're not legally here in the country, if they don't have a judicial warrant, this law will limit their actions inside the courtroom. It says they can't make an arrest on a civil status case. What it says, though, also is that if they have an arrest warrant, a judicial warrant, they can go ahead and arrest them. And so it really is trying to establish sanctuary for people just simply that are here simply under their status, being out of status, being here illegally. But if ICE has a warrant for their arrest, let's say they had been previously arrested, deported, and are back in the country. In that case, they can have a warrant to arrest them and have them removed. But if a person is here illegally and is out of status, then that would fall under the civil rules for ICE, and then ICE would not be able to go into a courtroom and civilly detain a person. They have to have an arrest warrant for them for this to have effect inside the courtroom. Now, if the ICE is standing outside the court grounds and that same person walks out of the court and off the grounds, they can arrest them civilly. They can go ahead and pick them up and detain them civilly and go ahead and process them. So it's a very small area of sanctuary for people. As long as they are being sought by ICE for civil reasons, civil detainment, then this provides some sanctuary. Again, it's trying to provide some trust within that community with the court systems.
I'm curious, though, so just to break down a couple of things that you said before, Ken. So civil actions essentially can be blocked if the person is inside the courthouse. As soon as they walk outside, all bets are off, essentially. And yes, they would need judicial warrants, you know, in order to get cleared to detain or arrest inside of a courthouse. How easy, you know, on average, and I know every case is different, but I mean, how easy is it for ICE agents to get judicial warrants?
Well, they can get judicial warrants for people that that have committed crimes that are illegal here or have previously been deported and are back in the country illegally. They can already have that warrant and are waiting to find the person to apply that warrant. What happens here is that if they become aware that they are inside the courtroom, then they know where they are at, then this may limit them as far as going to pick them up. It adds a roadblock for that, but only a temporary roadblock, because once they show that warrant to the judicial officer and make that notification that they plan to arrest them, then they can go ahead and do so.
And I obviously do understand, you know, when you look at some of the things that have happened in just Connecticut, you look at some of the major arrests in cities like Norwalk, Stamford, Danbury, the arrests themselves are, you know, in some cases pretty brutal. What we've seen on camera before, people being, you know, tackled to the ground, tased in their just kind of ICE sweeps, if you will. I can certainly understand where Connecticut is saying, look, you can't treat people like this and we don't love the way ICE is operating. It's not a matter of do I agree with ICE doing the job it is ordered to do, but the way that they do the job, I can certainly understand the backlash that especially our state has taken that stance and has made it very public. But I'm curious from your standpoint, Ken Gray, I mean, you've worked at the federal level before and you've seen how, I'm not going to call it retaliation works, but for, you know, just a matter of, you know, time, I would say, let's call it retaliation, how it works from a federal level. Do you feel like when we create more legislation, especially, you know, if all we're talking about is essentially blocking their civil actions only inside of a courthouse, does Connecticut put the people who are most at risk of being picked up by ICE, does it put them in a more exposed position than a safe one?
I don't see that at all. What this does is it's trying to establish at least an area of sanctuary, temporary sanctuary for somebody that has to go to the courtroom because of some other matter. And so they're trying to say it's safe for you to come here. You're not going to be picked up if you for just being out of status while you are inside the courtroom. But on the other hand, as far as ICE is doing their job, ICE has the responsibility of enforcing the law here in the country everywhere. And so states cannot oppose the federal government conducting their investigations. The supremacy clause says that the federal law trumps state law. And so ICE is going to be doing their business. What this law says is that they can't enforce their civil actions detaining a person for being out of status while they're inside the courtroom. Once they walk out of that courtroom, then ICE can go ahead and do their business.
We are chatting with former FBI agent and UNH professor Ken Gray. I wanted to switch gears, Ken, while I just had you for a couple more minutes. This just popped up in our news today that they're sounding the alarm, the FBI, I should say, sounding the alarm about an online extremist network known as 764, and apparently targeting more and more kids, specifically teenagers. First of all, have you heard of this network?
Yeah, I have. This is a network that is engaged in trying to recruit minors it's a sadistic group. It's been characterized as being neo-Nazi, but it primarily focuses on trying to use sexploitation of trying to recruit kids off of Minecraft and Roblox and some of these other games. It operates on Discord servers and on Telegram, and it's trying to encourage kids to conduct violent acts. It's also engaged in sexploitation, where it encourages kids to provide, pictures of themselves nude, and then tries to use that to extort them into carrying out acts. So it's really a very weird group that is targeting minors.
Yeah, it's pretty alarming, Ken. So I was reading that just last week, the FBI arrested a 21-year-old in New Jersey who had taken a bizarre mix of concerning actions tied to the group, trying to blackmail teenage girls into sending sexually explicit images. 3 weeks prior to that, there was a Seattle area mother and her husband who were, I guess, visiting the cemetery because their 13-year-old son had live streamed his suicide, pushed by members of this same group. 4 months earlier, there was a Detroit case, gruesome and brutal videos of animal torture. Why can't we shut this group down? I mean, isn't it as simple as just destroy, or they could just basically make a platform anywhere?
Well, one is that these things it take time to investigate, to identify the individuals. They are attempting to shut it down by going and targeting specific members in this group that are engaged in this activity. Not all of it is here inside the United States. And so that also makes it hard to carry out the investigation. But they've been designated as a terrorist group. So that brings additional resources to bear against it. But it's really very weird in that it's trying to use sexploitation to try to force kids into adopting their beliefs of about hating people being alive, misanthropy, and also their anarchy type point of view. It's and they also seem to be engaged in sadism and enjoying making other people hurt. So it's a really very strange group, and because it is operating off of some of these gaming networks and targeting kids who are really receptive to some of these approaches, it unfortunately is exploiting those kids.
I mean, is there anything? Obviously, we always say that parents should be monitoring what your kids are watching or doing online. But do kids even know that they're getting roped into this 764 network, or is 764 creating, for example, you said kind of gaming content online, or do kids know they're getting connected to this network, or is it only through FBI investigations that they find out, oh, your kid was actually engaging with this group?
So it's a process. It is a process. Kids are first approached, encouraged to send naked pictures of themselves, and then once they have that, they then can go to the next stage of trying to exploit them, and in the process also of involving them in this realm, they're trying to radicalize them. So it is not just one contact and they're a member. Instead, it's a series of acts that try to recruit people into this worldview. And so, it's hard to fight. It really is.
Well, Ken Gray, I appreciate you being on the show for, multiple topics. This one certainly, again, I just think it calls to action, not only informing yourself as the adult, but making sure that you are checking what your kids are doing online and having those open lines of communication with them. So I appreciate you talking about this. I had never heard of 764, but I'm glad I know about it now as a parent. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Ken Gray, again, a former FBI agent and UNH professor right here on WICC. Yeah, that literally was scrolling on ABC News Good Morning America. They had, while Ken was on the show, I see it pop up on our television screen, which is why, my mind is all over the place. I've always got TVs and computers and everything kind of streaming live so I could stay in the know constantly. But I had not heard of this group before. And when you look at some of the reports, it says in May of this year, ABC News reported that the FBI was conducting 250 investigations across the country tied to more than, I guess it was tied to this 764 and similar networks. And then 6 months since then, the FBI has opened at least another 100 more investigations, trying to further understand who's behind it and what can really be done. But it seems to be a very lengthy type of a network. And it also looks like they kind of recruit young people to be part of it. It says 764 was started apparently by a 15-year-old in Texas by the name of Bradley Cadenhead, who named it after the first three digits of his local zip code. And it was born during the pandemic when teenagers were stuck inside and flocking to online spaces. It says 764 was an even more vicious offshoot of other online groups exploiting children through blackmail and self-harm, which is really alarming. So, again, important to note that this is back in the news and the FBI investigating now hundreds of suspects who may be young online predators. So it's not even just that your youth could be a target of it, but that youth, it seems like a lot of the time, or younger people are running this network in America, which is pretty alarming as well. Make sure you know what your kids are streaming and doing online.